in October, in which he said, Jefferson Davis and other leaders of the South have made an army. They are making, it appears, a navy, and they have made what is more than either, they have made a nation. Well, at the time that Gladstone gave that speech in October, the prime moment for the Confederacy actually had passed. That moment was earlier in September. On September 17th, the day that Lee's and McClellan's soldiers fought each other at Antietam, Lord Russell told Prime Minister Palmerston that Britain and France should try to mediate an end to the conflict. If the North refused, he said, Britain ought to recognize the South unilaterally. Palmerston said, let's wait and see what happens in this next round of campaigning, Lee's next round of campaigning. If Lee were successful, the implication being that recognition would come. Well, the Northern victory at Antietam dampened European enthusiasm for recognition. Britain and France continued to consider action through the end of the year, but the South's last great chance for recognition, I believe, slipped away on the banks of Antietam Creek. That was especially the case because Lincoln chose Antietam as the pretext to issue his preliminary proclamation of emancipation. And it became obvious very quickly that anti-slavery elements in Britain could never side with the slaveholding Confederacy. Now, the United States is still a slaveholding society, too, at this time. As we know, there are still four slave states in the Union, Missouri and Kentucky and Maryland and Delaware. But there seems to be a striking difference between the United States, which has these four states that still hold slaves, and the Confederacy, which is an overtly slaveholding republic. And Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation seems to put the North at odds with this slaveholding Confederacy. Charles Francis Adams, the accomplished, the brilliant United States minister to Great Britain, as his father had been, as his grandfather had been before him, he wrote at the time, the Emancipation Proclamation has done more for us here than all our former victories and all our diplomacy. It is creating an almost convulsive reaction in our favor. I believe the autumn of 1862 was a moment of real crisis for the North, but Union arms at Antietam saved the day. Let's move on to one last crisis. I think the Confederacy's last slim hope for British and French recognition came in the summer of 63, after Lee's victories at Fredericksburg and Chancellorsville, and when Lee moved north again. In the campaign that ended at Gettysburg, I think until Gettysburg, there was a slim chance that Europe might do something. After that, I think there was no serious chance that Britain would do anything. But there was still going to be trouble between the United States and Great Britain, and that centered on some powerful ships called the Laird Rams. The Laird Rams. Early in the war, Britain had built and sold to the Confederacy two commerce raiders that eventually became the Confederate ships Florida and Alabama. We'll talk more about them later. They're the most famous southern raiders. Between them, they sank or captured more than 100 American merchant vessels. Now, Britain said it was legal to build and sell these raiders because they were not outfitted as warships in England. The vessels were built, they were not armed in England, however. They were sold unarmed to the Confederates, who later outfitted them. In 1863, however, the North learned that two ironclad ships were being built for the Confederacy at the Laird shipyards. Now, these were clearly warships. There was no other way to interpret what was happening at the Laird shipyards. These were going to be 1,400-ton vessels, about 225 feet long, powerfully armed. They even had Confederate names ready to go. They would have become the Confederate North Carolina and the Confederate Mississippi. They were designed to help lift the blockade, to be more powerful than any of the Union blockading vessels. The idea was to use these powerful Laird Rams, the rams constructed in the Laird shipyards, to first break the Union blockade at key Confederate cities, and then perhaps even to carry the war to northern cities and try to terrorize some coastal areas of the North. They were ironclad, clearly powerful vessels, and they posed a serious threat. The Laird shipyards had also built the Alabama. Well, through the summer of 1863,